anxious. Why? Because you're afraid of something. There's a fear. Something's not going to work out. Something's going to happen. I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to pass this. This is going to happen. The bills are too much, and the checks are not going to be here in time. And so you start worrying. You got this fear that we wrestle with. And so fear breeds all these things. And so I'm going to look at five individuals in the Christmas story and see if you can identify with any of these fears they had. Maybe it's one of yours. One of them is mine, and some of you will notice it real quick when I read it. And you'll go, yeah, that one's Gary's. And if you've been with me for a while, you'll recognize it. But let's look at the first one. Here, let's talk about Mary. All right, anybody remember Christmas story? Young teenage girl. I mean, they're talking. You need to understand, she's 14, 15 years old. You know, we think about Mary, you know, in her 20s. No, Mary's a teenager, a 14, 15-year-old girl, engaged to be married. Dreams. How many young girls had great dreams of your marriage? You may have had dreams of a marriage. Some of you are dreaming right now of a marriage, right? You know? And you got these plans of your marriage, and you have this great vision of the dress you're going to wear and how you're going to get your hair done and the shoes you're going to wear. And you get this. Mary had all these dreams about her marriage. And all this is all set up as this teenage girl gets ready to get married. Now an angel shows up. An angel has some news for her. And it's not the news that she anticipated about a marriage. It's news about being pregnant. And so I wrote for Mary, I wrote it this way. Here's Mary with the fear of inadequacy. It's like, how can I do this? Yeah. Here this angel stands up. Angel appears to her and tells her she's pregnant. Look at what it says. That she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You think she thought that was favor with God? Hey, you're pregnant. You ain't married. You got all these dreams. We're just going to crush them. And then I'm thinking in her mind, it's like, who am I to raise God? How do I deal with this? I'm a teenage girl from some backwater city called Nazareth, which they say nothing good comes out of Nazareth. You know, that's the story of Nazareth. And here I'm from this little town. How can I do this? I'm not good enough. Who am I? Who do you think I am? Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel inadequate about your life? You know, I don't matter. Nobody cares. It matter. Here this, I could just see that. Look what she says. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How's this going to happen? You know, I'm not the one for this. You know, I just live back here. You know, I'm at the north end. Nobody knows what goes on in Nazareth. You know, and I'm this 14-year-old girl. And so this inadequacy builds this fear in their life. It builds this kind of like good enough. Anybody here never feel they're not good enough? Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. But I know we have these feelings. You know, that just kind of, you know, I don't measure up. How am I going to work this out? Who do you think I am? You know, and so we have these feelings. So Mary had these feelings of inadequacy. And that inadequacy builds a fear. Don't fear, the angel says. Don't be afraid. God's got this all worked out. You know, you don't have to be good enough. God's took care of that. Is that true? You know, God's the one that makes you good enough, not you. You know, I hate to tell you, there's nobody good. No, not one. I mean, that's what the Bible says. I tell people, you know what I'm good at? I'm good at nothing. Matter of fact, I'm good for nothing. Anybody? That I'm sure you had those feelings. If you're here this morning, I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid. You're good enough. God loves you. You're so good enough that God died for you. Anybody on board with that one? You know, it has nothing to do with you. It's all about God. So she had these feelings of inadequacy, you know, and you kind of get those in your setbacks. You can kind of feel inadequate and you have these fears. The second one I put down here is Joseph. Now you can imagine Joseph, okay? Some of you guys might identify. Your girlfriend comes to you and says, oh, she's pregnant. By an angel from God. Yeah, and I got a golden bridge I'll sell you. You met me with that, you know. Can you imagine Joseph? Now, he was engaged to this girl. They've been together all these years, probably since they were children, running around Nazareth, because there's not much in Nazareth. Can you imagine the gossip? Can you imagine the stories that are going to be said now? You know, can you imagine this going through Joseph's head? What are they going to think about me? What are they going to say about me? What's the story's going to say? You know, how am I going to tell my mom? How am I going to tell my dad? What are my friends going to say? You know, you go tell your, hey, guess what? My girlfriend, she got pregnant by God. And your friends are going to go, yeah, she's selling you a bill of goods, boy. Can you imagine these feelings going on with him? Is, you know, this disapproval. You know, he's afraid that he's not going to be approved, that it's not going to go well. Look at what it says. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear, take your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's like, God's got this. But we do worry about what others say. Anybody here worry about what others say about you? Did they ever cause you anxiety? Ever cause you stress? You know, you want that approval? You know, let me ask you this morning. I'm going to kind of meddle right now, okay? Whose approval are you after? Whose approval do you really? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, the studies have said, and you know, that one of the great, you know, I was talking with, again, somebody this week, is we want our Father's approval. That's really, you know, that's a challenge. You know, some fathers don't know how to give approval. You know, my dad never heard me preach. He would come to this church for different events and never come into the church. He'd sit at the park and wait till the church got over. My brother would be over there too. My mom would come in. And it was just, and just so you know, for me, he didn't know how to handle his son being a preacher, okay? You know? But then at the end of his life, he started saying some things that kind of encouraged me. Because we want approval. Don't we want approval of our parents, don't we? But whose approval do you seek? You know, let me ask you this, whose disapproval are you afraid of? See, these things cause fear in our life. You know, in the midst of a setback, are you afraid, you know, you're going through a financial crisis, you're afraid somebody's going to discover it? Or you got a broken relationship and it's not going well and you don't want to go see a counselor because then everybody's going to know. Am I right? Now, come on. I told you I was going to meddle this morning. Yeah. See, we have setbacks. They're going to come, and we worry about, you know, am I good enough? This feeling of inadequacy, this feeling of disapproval gives us fear. You know, we're afraid what everybody's going to think, what everybody else is going to say. They're going to gossip about me. You ever, let me ask you this, just kind of give you an idea. How many of you have ever Googled your name? Just because you want to know what somebody else is. I have. Come on now. You know, Gary Du, Salida. You know? And there's stories in there on Gary Du in Salida. Don't go look, okay? You know? Because we do. We're afraid of that. Am I right? And that causes us to fear. What are they going to think? Joseph had these fears. You know, Mary and actually Joseph, this was of disapproval. How about the shepherds? Let's talk about the shepherds for a minute. If you're familiar with the shepherds, they're outside of Bethlehem taking care of sheep, worked all day, had a good day out there with the sheep. They finally get all the sheep together one night. They gather all the sheep. What they would do is they'd gather all the sheep up and kind of make a pen with the sheep, and they would kind of lay across the gate. And so I just see the shepherds. They got all the sheep together. It's finally quiet. You know, the sheep are all down. There's no baa-baa-baaing or anything. And they're just all kind of laying around, and the shepherds are finally just relaxing, looking at the stars. And all of a sudden, whoop, there's an angel. Well, there goes your day. You know, there goes good night. I just messed up my night now. You know, and the angel shows up with some news. And again, it goes, and it goes, they were afraid. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be of people. How about unexpected change? Anybody wrestle with unexpected change? Have you ever sat down and get your life, you kind of had a picture in your life of where you wanted to go and what you were going to do and how you kind of expected life to go, and then things happen. Anybody have things happen in your life that just kind of mess life all up for you? I can just see that. You know, they're sitting there as shepherds, you know, kicking back, relaxing one evening, just going, you know, hey, we'll just get up in the morning, nice, drink some water, you know, fry some eggs, that whatever they're going to do, you know. And now all of a sudden this angel says, hey, it's going to be a different world starting tomorrow. You know, things are changing, man. And it's, how do we deal with that? Most of us don't like change. Am I right? You know, we like the routine. We like to know I'm going to get up this week. This is, you know, here's my plan. I'm going to do this. You know, my week's been changed for me. I got a conference to go to. I get to go. Somebody gave me TIC Global Leadership Conference in Manteca. And so I get to go to this leadership conference. But you know what? It messes my schedule up. Because, you know, usually Wednesday I write my sermons, and then Thursday I get it all ready for PowerPoint and get all that ready, and Friday I do. I got to change. Anybody like their schedules all messed up? Because when your schedule gets messed up, doesn't it? Now what am I going to do? Now how many of us, how many parents here, you have your kids really dread when summer comes along, right? You know, it's nice. School off. Get off. Yay, there we go. Then summer, what am I going to do with these kids now? You know? Got to get babysitters. Got to do this. Got to do that. We wrestle with change. And then it causes fear. You know, how can I get babysitter? I got a job, and I got to do this. And how? See, we get these unexpected changes in our life, and it messes up our schedule, and we get life all figured out, and then something happens, and it causes fear. And then I have another one here, King Herod. Let's talk about King Herod. So we got inadequacy. We got disapproval. We got the unexpected change. And I want to look at Herod. He's the king when Jesus was born. I'm going to talk about losing control. Does anybody recognize this one for me? No, I am a control freak. That is me. I like things in order. I like to be able to control it and manage it and handle it. And everything. Okay, anybody else to control anybody? Any of you parents, any of you kids want to say, my mom is, anybody, you know, don't do it. Your mom might see you, you know. You know, you got this controlling parent, you know. Where are you at? When are you going? You got to get, here's the itinerary, you know, you got all that, you know. Because we're in control. See, that was Herod. He's in control of Jerusalem. He's in control of Judea. He's in control of where Israel and the Bible land that we know today. And he's got control of that area. He's been assigned that control from Rome. And as long as everything goes well, and as long as everything goes good, he's okay. But at any moment, Rome can come in and say, you're done, man. You messed up. You're through. Out. So he's got control, and he's handling control. And now all of a sudden, word comes down that there's a king being born in Bethlehem. Look at what it says. When Herod, when word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified. See, the wise men came looking for Jesus. Where's this king going to be born? And they came and figured, well, if the new king's going to come, maybe the old king knows where the new king is at, right? So let's go talk to Herod. And not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. They were all terrified. See, when we can't control things, we get worried. Anybody know that one? You know, when you can't manage things, how many of us could testify? Again, don't raise your hand. You know, when your family's out of control, how? See, here, let me give you a little hint, some of you, so you know. I say this now, I didn't think this until I got older. Just so you know, I was telling somebody again this week. If you're raising your family, listen to me. If you're raising your family and they're under 18, that's the easy time. Hear me, all right? If you got kids and they're under 18, that's the easy time to raise children. Because when they turn 18, they're out of your control. And they're going to do whatever in the world they want, whenever they want it. And then you're going to worry, are they going to be safe on the road? You know, I got to call my granddaughter up, and this my grandkids. She's up in Seattle driving back down to where they live down by Vancouver, Washington. And it's like, oh, Lord, please be my granddaughter. Jules, please, God, watch over her on the freeway. You know, you worry about them more when they're over 18. I'm going to be honest with you, because you can't control. We like to control things. And when you're not, you kind of worry. You kind of get anxious. You can have panic attacks. Am I right? Or am I just kind of off base here? And so, you know, these setbacks come, and we feel we're losing control, and then we get fearful. And then the last one I put down is from Zechariah. Again, another individual in the Christmas story. He's married to Elizabeth, who is Mary's cousin, I think, and she's married to the aunt. So they go, you know, Mary gets pregnant, so she goes to stay with them, but Elizabeth and Zechariah haven't been able to have children. You know, for whatever reason, God had not blessed them with a child yet, and they were waiting for their child and praying for a child and nothing has happened. And sometimes that happens. We can't explain. We don't understand. And sometimes that happens. And so they were waiting and nothing's happening. And then finally an angel shows up and says, hey, now, God's timing. It's time. Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. And it's like, oh, yeah, sure. Here's what it says about Zechariah. He was disappointed. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. It's like, hey, you know, you've been asking, you've been waiting. Anybody here ever been disappointed in life? You know, it's just things haven't done well, things haven't gone well, and you just feel disappointed. See, disappointment breeds fear. Disappointment is one of those things that makes us anxious, and it makes us worry. And then disappointment gives us a sense of loss. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Can you identify with any of these? Anybody, you know, like I say, I confess, mine is losing control. That, you know, I'm better at it now. Years ago, it was really bad. You know, I wouldn't sleep at night. I'd have situations in my life where I wouldn't sleep at night. Anybody been in that one where you just can't sleep at night because you just, you know, something's just not going well. You can't handle it. It's out of your control. You can't sleep. Maybe it's disappointment. I don't know. Can anybody identify any of these? And you're in the midst of these setbacks, and these things are hitting your face. Maybe it's at school, you know, and it's something at school, some teacher or some fellow student, and you know, and you feel inadequate. You have no friends, and you know, I don't know what it is. And anybody know what I'm talking about? You have these things going on in your life, and these setbacks, and you worry, and you stress, and it breeds into fear, you know, and you're at a loss, and it doesn't work, and you don't know what to turn, and you don't know where to turn, and you don't know how to deal with it. So that's what I want to talk. What do you do? What do you do when you feel like this? I'll tell you the best thing to do. Stay in bed, pull a blanket over your head, and just crawl up in a ball. Right? How many of you have done that besides me? All right? You know, it's like, I'm done, I'm toast, I'm just going to, you know, get in that fetal position. You know, mama, come and get me. I don't want to deal with life no more. How do we deal with these fears? What am I going to do when I'm faced with these? I don't measure up, you know? What do? You know, you go to Cal Baptist University, you know, you go to Golden Gate Seminary, you go out and you get a doctorate, and your friend down in Riverside and down in Southern California has a church with 20,000 members, and you're in Salida. And I really feel, I'm confident. Yeah, uh-huh. Those feelings? You work hard and, you know, you get an age, you know, I'm going to be 65 this year, and you know, and then all of a sudden I'm going to retire at some point. Just so you know, I'm not retiring anytime soon. I love what I'm doing. This is a great church, and you guys are great people, and I'm here, all right? You ain't getting rid of me. I'll hunt you, all right? Yeah. But someday that's going to happen. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Anybody besides me, you kind of wrestle with things? How do we deal with those fears? What do? So I'm going to give you four things that I see in this story here, in the Christmas story with these individuals. And it's my prayer that they're going to help you, because they help me, all right? And I just want to look at these four things real quick. How can we replace fear with faith? Does that make sense? How do you replace your fears with faith? Because you're going to have setbacks. It's inevitable. I guarantee you will feel it at some point in life. Sorry to say, we're broken people. You will be disappointed. You will feel disapproval. You will lose control. You will have unexpected change. It's gonna happen. It's inevitable. It's called life in a broken world. All right? So how are you gonna replace that fear that comes with faith? So four things real quick. If you don't mind, you can put it this way real quick. Surrender your life completely to God every day. Surrender your life completely to God every day. Circle every day. We're going to come back to that. Here's one of my battles. I challenge people week after week here as a pastor to surrender their lives to God. Okay? That I really believe God's a better way in life, okay? I really believe God answers. I don't care what question you have. I don't care what setback you're involved in. I don't care where you're at in life, that God is the answer to all your problems. All right? Now, I'm not going to say all your problems are going to go away when you do that, because that's called setbacks. They're inevitable. But God is the answer. You hear me as your pastor. You hear me say this. Being a Christian is real simple. Being a Christian, well, I shook the preacher's hand, or I was born in a Christian home, or I was baptized as a baby. None of that makes you a Christian. I've said it here for all these years this way, really simple, really plain. Being a Christian, when you reach a point in your life where you said something like this, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. You know, it's like, God, where I'm living and how I'm living has not turned out as well. And I know you have a better plan. I can find it all in here. You know, I like John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that's what God wants to give us. And so that's make that decision. You can't be a Christian. But, well, I was born, my mom was a Christian. Nah, don't work. My dad. No. My grandfather was a preacher. No. None of that works. You got to personally reach a point in your life where you said something along that line. And we do that. And I challenge you with that. And you make Jesus Lord of your life. God, I'm going to do life your way. Now, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're going to feel inadequate. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get disapproval. And you're going to have all of that. That's a one-time decision. But then every day, you have to reaffirm, God, I want to do life your way. Because I don't know about you, but Gary is a control freak. Guess what he wants to control? My life. And I got great ideas. God, why don't we do it this way today? God, I thought this was a good idea. Anybody ever said, God, I thought this was a good idea? Then you get over there and you go, wait a minute, what was I thinking? Anybody been in that one? Yeah. And we see that. And so that's why that every day is something. You got to completely surrender to God every day. You make that decision once in your life. God, I am yours. I surrender everything to you, God. And then every day, God, what's the plan for today? Where are we going today? How are we going to handle this today? And you move in that way. Listen to Mary. Listen to how Mary said this. And Mary said, behold, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. God, I don't understand. I'm a teenage girl, not prepared for this. I'm going to raise the Son of God. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't get any of how this, how do you have a baby you never have sex? I don't understand all this, God. But I'm in. That's what I'm going to challenge you with this morning. Are you in? Your setbacks are going to come. But here's the challenge. Why is it so easy to say, I know, let me tell you, I know I haven't. I'm in no rush to get there. But I am going to heaven. There is no doubt in my mind that the day I cease to exist here is the day I exist in heaven. Plain, simple, it's done. All right, then why is it so hard to trust? I can trust God with that, but I can't trust God every day of my life. Anybody ever wonder about that? I'm going to worry about my finances, even though, God, I'm going to heaven, but God, I got to worry about finances. God, I got this health issue, but God, I got to worry about, we'll worry about this, and we don't worry about going to heaven. See, I want to tell you, surrender it all to God now. Listen how David said this. This is awesome. Surrender your heart to God. Turn to Him in prayer and give up your sins, even those you do in secret. Then you won't be ashamed. You will be confident and fearless. Your troubles will go away like water beneath the bridge, and your darkest night will be brighter than the noon. You will rest safe and secure, filled with hope and emptied of worry. You see, every setback has a comeback. Am I right? You see that? I love that. That's a beautiful path. That one, to me, is worth memorizing. Yeah, you're going to have troubles, but they're going to flow under the bridge. You see what he said there? Yeah, troubles are going to come. They're going to flow by. But don't get off with them. Don't get carried away with them. I'm that bridge. I got you. I'm with you. But you got to surrender your heart. Isn't that a beautiful picture he paints here? I like that. So surrender your life completely to God every day. Every day. Get up in the morning. God, this is your day. Let's have fun. Second one I put down here. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Anybody got naysayer? Anybody got a naysayer in their life? Dan did a good job on this last week. Anybody got somebody who's always a downer? They're always going to tell you all the bad, all the negative, all that's wrong. You can't do that. You'll never be able to finish. Anybody ever been told that? You can't do that. You'll never make it there. You might. Why even try? Anybody ever tell you, don't even try? I like this one because that's my life has been one that is against all the naysayers for me. I'm in college, in my English class, thrown out of the English teacher's office. Anybody been thrown out of the teacher's office at school? You don't trust people that work at schools. All right, Thomas? I'm giving Thomas a bad time. Yeah, I did. I got thrown out of my counselor. I got thrown out of the English teacher's office. I got a teacher. I'm going around. We got our papers back. We had turned in our paper, and we're going by, and he's giving us our papers, and he has comments. And he looks at me as I walk by, and he hands me a paper, and he says, I don't know how you got this B spelling the way you spell. Now, some of you have been here for a while. You know sometimes those spelling things get up there. Talking about embarrassment. I can't spell. Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't listen to those. My mom passed away. I got report cards from my first grade, second grade, third grade. Can't believe what the teachers wrote about me. Yeah, and I'll show you now. Look, I got a doctorate. Ha, ha, ha. Don't listen to those voices that are telling you no. Don't listen to those voices who are saying it can't happen. Don't listen to those voices that say, just give up. Just, everybody else is doing it. Don't worry. Nobody's going to know. Just go for it. Don't listen to those voices. Look at what Joseph said here. Joseph had his mind when an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. He said to Joseph, Joseph, descendant of David, don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You see, Joseph had it all worked out. And he said, you ever get things worked out? Am I in the right place? Yeah. You ever get things worked out in your head? Got it all figured out? And you got these people just saying, no. I'll tell you some of today's negative. I'll give you a big naysayer today, all right? You want to write this one down. It's a major naysayer in our world today. You ready? Are you listening? Facebook. Social media. How many have been destroyed by comments on Facebook? Anybody? Nobody's raising their hand. Am I the only one? Anybody pick on you on Facebook? Anybody say derogatory things on you on Facebook? I got some kids up here that say yes. I see it. You think what? You idiot. You got to watch that stuff. Don't listen. You can fall into those traps. I have literally, you need to know, since 2016, I have quit watching the news. I got so aggravated during the election with the news. I haven't watched the news since 20. Yesterday was the watch news yesterday when I walked in after I'd been doing a bunch of stuff down here. I went home and Laura's sitting there watching the news of the shooting in El Paso. And she was watching that news, and so I watched that. I get so aggravated with the news because it's always negative. Anybody know it's always negative? Naysayers on the news, it's just everything. The world's, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to watch the news. I'll give you a little hint. The world is broken. It's broken. And the answer is Jesus, okay? You don't have to watch the news, right? We live in a broken world. We're all broken. I'm as broken as anybody else. The only difference is Jesus is trying to put me back together. Humpty Dumpty fell off, and he's putting me back together. And it might be a losing cause sometimes, but I'm not giving up. And the good thing is, he's never going to give up on me. And he's never going to give up on you. All right? Remember that. All right? Don't listen to the naysayers. Don't hear what they say. Listen to what it says here. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the only one who will keep you on track. Doesn't that sound nice? Who are you going to listen to? I'm going to ask, who are you listening to today? Who are you going to listen to? Listen to God. How about this next one I put here? Fill your mind with music that praises God. Fill your mind with music. There's an old saying. Has anybody ever heard this saying? Music calms the savage beast. Some of you young ones don't know, what's this guy talking about? That used to be a saying. You know, music calms the savage beast. If you ever watch old cartoons, you can see it in some of the old cartoons. The Tasmanian devil in music. Anybody? Come on now. Anybody know who the Tasmanian devil is? All right. They play music and he gets calm, right? Yeah. Music can calm your heart. Music can give you peace, can't it? When you listen to a song, you say, good, good Father. Isn't that a nice song to listen to? One of my favorite, the worship team sings every once in a while, and I appreciate when they do, and you can see me on the front row. I'm going, yeah. He knows my name. Oh, I love that song. I love that song. He knows your name, man. He knows every hair on your head, it says. I got a lot. Some of you don't have any. I got a lot. God, see, do you see this God? You know, and listen to music. Listen to God's word. Plug in those music in your life and let God minister. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling frustrated, I have literally set in my, I don't have a lot of music, so I'll listen to YouTube. I go on my computer. I have set at my computer and played Christian music crying. Anybody else done that besides me? You know, you've been hurt, you've been wounded, life has just smacked you upside the head, and how do you get up? How do I get up? I pull myself a chair, I sit in front of my computer and play Christian music. So we need to do that. And what's so fun, if you know, you look at the Christmas story, how much Christmas music do we have? You ever think about all the Christmas music? My wife, like I said, my wife loves Christmas. She would play it all the time. She gives my son-in-law a bad time about playing Christmas music. But Mary said, here's Mary. And Mary said, I'm bursting with good news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. How many seen the kids dance this morning? Is it okay to dance before the Lord? David did it. You know? I can't dance. All right? But some can. We can honor God. And so listen to that music. And then I give you a list. If you want to read some other music, Mary sang a song. Elizabeth sang a song. The angels sang. The shepherds sang. Zachariah sang. Everybody sings. But Gary. Gary can't carry a tune. But I'm going to listen to good music. All right? Let the music lift you up. In the middle of a setback and things aren't going well and fear starts rising up and you're worried about disapproval or you're worried about feeling inadequate or you're worried about being disappointed and inadequate and all of this, turn on some good Christian music and let it inspire you. Let God use those words to lift you up. You know, set your mind and totally surrender to God and let God do something in you. And don't listen to what all those other people are saying. Listen to what God says. See what God has for you. And the last one, I put this. Base your hope on the promises of God. Thousands of promises in the Bible. Thousands. Now, just make sure. When I talk about the Bible, I'm talking about 66 letters and books that they collected over the centuries and put together and called it a Bible, all right? You know, this isn't a book. It is a book of books. You come to Awana, get your kids in Awana, they'll tell you how many books are in the book of books. The kids will tell you. Hell no, it's two divisions. There's an old and there's a new. But these are ancient letters. You know, it's a story of Israel and how God delivered them from slavery. I mean, it's historical. You know, and you can read these stories. It's historical about a little town of Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus. These are historical events and these are ancient letters and documents that testify to those stories. Your hope in those stories, in those events in your life, because God keeps his promise. God keeps his word. You are blessed. Look at what Elizabeth told Mary. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you blessed because you believe what the Lord would do what he said? Are you? Fear not. Fear not. You are blessed, for the Lord will do what he said. What do you think? Setbacks. They're enabling.
Life hurts. There's financial, relational. There's job, there's work, there's health. There's setbacks. It's life. We're broken in a broken world that God has promised to be with us, to never leave us nor forsake us, to give us a life, not just a life, but an abundant life. I close with this verse right here. When I am afraid, I'm going to put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Don't be afraid. God has you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to read your words and to know that you're a God full of love and compassion, a God abounding in love, who knows our hearts, who knows our battles, who knows our struggles, who sees us in the midst of all that weighs upon us. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and maybe this morning you're in the midst of a setback and there's some fear and you're struggling. You want me to pray for you this morning? I'll pray for you right now. You just shoot your hand up and say, pray for me. I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who are struggling and sick, who are hurting. They're wounded. And they're... Lord, we hear the angels say, fear not. And yet our world just piles upon us. So I lift them up to you, Lord. I ask you to fill their heart with confidence, with encouragement, that you'll inspire them, that we will trust you, that they will trust you every day, Lord. That you are their Savior, you are their Lord, that they've already made that decision. Now every day, Lord, fill them, equip them, strengthen them, inspire them. Tune out the voices that discourage and down them. Tune up the voice of God that will inspire them. See it, let them claim the promises. And let them walk daily with you, empowered by the Holy Spirit that dwells within your beliefs. In Jesus' name we pray.